I think the biggest thing, now that there's so much tech and tooling and measuring and tracking and software and blah, 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 I think the more that you can hire a marketer who is a constant student of human psychology, human behavior, that is the important skill set, because it's easier to set up tracking than ever before. It's easier to do things at scale and create content and whatever at scale. But the thing that is still elusive and hard to find is somebody that really is interested in figuring out human behavior, human psychology, and how that's transitioning over time. I'm Margaret Kelsey.
And I'm Devin Bramhall.
And this is Don't Say Content,
a show created in partnership with Share Your Genius.
Just trying to find something to talk about, because the things that we thought we don't want to talk about.
This is a really good show. I can tell already.
This episode is gonna slap.
So thinking back to like our, like a founder, a CEO, a CMO, what do they want to hear about right now?
I think they just want silence right now. This episode brought to you by Brain Break, and just it's just like calm music. You're knocking around your webcam again.
Oh, sorry.
I'm getting jumbly.
You're so bossy.
I'm not being bossy. Somebody asked in that thing, how do you think about measuring the relationship building over time and showing those results to skeptical CFOs? How do you actually make friends with a CFO?
It's the same as the CEO. Speak their language.
I know.
And speak with numbers. Maybe we should just talk about why the fuck we're talking about this in the first place.
Why do we care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, go back to first principles, right? It's like we're always talking about the reaction. It's like, why don't CEOs and marketers get along? Or
what do we even care about? Why?
I think, you know what it is? Here's something I've been coming to realize.
Yeah.
Is it's always this us versus them conversation. And whatever the whoever the us is, right? When I think about it, it's everyone's responsibility. When I hear some people in marketing who, you know, maybe it's someone I'm working with a client or, you know, coaching or whatever, I can hear where they're making excuses.
Yeah.
I can hear where they think they're talking to the level of their CEO. And they really aren't. Like, even I'm like, the number of times that like a friend or somebody will ask me, you know, say like, here's my argument. I'm like, oh, I don't care about any of that.
That's not going to land.
Yeah. I'm like, and I don't care. Yeah. It means nothing to me because that's not the discussion that we're having. And so as much as we place responsibility on founders who are having trouble getting out of the weeds, and allowing their marketing teams to function, and at bigger companies, CEOs and CFOs and, you know, C-suite teams who may not, quote unquote, get it, CMOs aren't being listened to either. And their whole job is to talk numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the number of women alone who left CMO jobs. I think it was throughout 22 and 23, and I don't have the number in front of me, but it was huge.
Yeah.
There was huge turnover in CMOs over the past 2 years. And I hear a lot of marketers now who are like, I don't want that job.
Yeah.
It's like the job of the CMO is to be all business. It's really just moving numbers around, getting executive buy-in, gaining that influence like Ashley talked about. You're a business person. And it's like, maybe we're just thinking about the structure of marketing teams all wrong, or we continue to talk within the existing structure and existing roles, and we're not having the conversation about what should a marketing team look like now.
Yeah.
You know, with new technology, the changes in how search can be effective, because I refuse to adhere to that, like, search doesn't work anymore, it's BS. The changes in how paid media and the efficacy of paid media, again, still works.
Yep.
Just differently, right?
Yep.
The changes in the channels, right? I talked to Alex, the CEO of Doc, on his podcast yesterday about how, you know, we have all this multimedia, but you and I have experimented ourselves with YouTube, TikTok, and the podcast itself. How do you get a podcast listener to your product?
Yeah.
In any kind of straight line.
Yeah.
Or measurable way.
Okay. But also, human beings are not straight lines, right?
Part of the big point, right? So, I'm not trying to answer that question. I'm saying these are all a collection of changes.
Yeah. And a collection of questions of, like, why would I even invest in that if there's not a straight line or whatever it is?
Or do we even have the capacity? And so the question is, put those factors, those little, you know, many factors underneath this question of what should a marketing team look like now?
Yeah. And I think that it's less the same company to company. And I think this is what we've been doing is we're like, oh, it's B2B SaaS. So all of these teams can look the same, right? Because if they do it this way, and I think the thing that we're seeing with the rise of lots of new technology, with AI, with all of this stuff, it just is about figuring out what works in this period of time with your company selling to your target audience right now. So I went to a dinner in Boston with Capsule, which is an AI video software editing tool that helps scale the video team at large enterprises.
Not the Capsule that I use, which is an amazing virtual pharmacy.
Yes. And a little different.
Yeah.
Completely different. But I was sitting next to their head of marketing and I was talking about, like, how smart is this strategy that you're doing right now? You went into a city, you did a super exclusive dinner. I think there was like 16 people there, maybe. It was all, I was an odd one out. It was all like head of video at large enterprises. And it was a really cool guest list at a really great restaurant. We all sat together. We talked. We built relationships. And you know what I did the next day? I logged into Capsule and I started playing around. If she would have emailed me, if she would have like if I had heard it in passing, I would have not gone and explored. But I spent a couple hours with the team. I was like, this is really smart. Let me go play around with it. What has happened recently, very quickly, is with all of the like loudness in every channel, because it's easier to create marketing in all of these channels right now, people are rapidly pulling back. I think the B2B buyer is rapidly pulling back and just asking peers and wanting more human connection to figure out what I should be using right now, because everything is so noisy. And I think if, like, even in the last year, that's happened really rapidly, right? And what I think right now are our marketing teams and companies aren't equipped to handle the rapid change in buyer behavior and how buyers consume content or consume information or make decisions, at which the pace of the world is changing so quickly. And we're still like, yeah, like, what should a marketing team look like? It's like a marketing team should be super flexible, because who knows in a year if it's going to look different than it does right now. But this team is going out and they're recognizing, hey, what I actually really need to do is just like break through the noise in individual cities and get a bunch of these leaders together and spark some interest. And that's what the issue is right now, is we're still trying to build these, like, what should it look like? How do I plan out? And how do I like look into the future? And how do I like get ahead of this? When in actuality, like, the team you need to build needs to be like so tapped in that they have these insights and these ideas, and then bring back creative solutions and then try them out, right? Like, we've talked about this before, like, a culture of experimentation is more important than, like, do you have your paid media person? Do you have this role? Do you have your ABM? Do you have your whatever? And I think that moves to the do more with less thing of, like, just smart, scrappy people that can just try shit and get it done. And see what's happening and try things and work with the tides, rather than like railing against all these changes and, you know, lamenting over the fact that nothing works anymore or SEO's dead or whatever the thing is that everyone's talking about. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. Just go try some new shit. Listen to how people are actually buying and making decisions, and then go just try to do that.
This struck a chord with you, Margaret.
I did, because I literally sat at this dinner. I was like, this is so fucking smart. This is
okay,
so smart.
Let's like, okay, so there's like, you said a lot of things in there.
I did.
So let's tease it out. First of all, your first question, I think, is the most important thing. Yeah. And that is where the solution lies, which is companies should not look at the existing format of marketing structure and roles,
yep,
and tactics and tools and say, what are the specific circumstances that our company operates in, our customers, our budgets, et cetera, and determine based on their unique criteria what they need to help them grow the business.
Yep.
Don't even give it a marketing, sales, whatever title. It's just like, what will it take to grow the business?
Yeah.
The thing I agree with is that maybe it's not someone just scrappy, but I do think that we're going back to a previous time in the, you know, earlier days of content marketing when a marketer was more full stack. Mm-hmm. They weren't experts in everything, but they were experimenting a lot. And that's where you got these really cool tactics that became playbooks. When back then they were just things they were testing out, they'd work, people would adopt it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, maybe what a marketer looks like now is someone who's not necessarily going to be the perfect content producer or even an expert in every channel, but they understand all the channels, they understand their audience, and they're good at setting up experiments. And that's how they're leading their team and how they're aligning with their CEOs. The one thing that I don't think I agree with is that I don't think how the customer buys is changing rapidly. I really don't. Mm. I think maybe, you know, you could look at, okay, on the B2C side, there's so many more ways to buy through TikTok, through Instagram, through influencers, through in-person like pop-ups and events and all of that stuff. So on the B2C side, I see more and different creative opportunities to grow your brand and sell your product. On the B2B side, day-to-day, when you're talking to clients and how their leads are coming in, to me, the only channel that's changed that significantly is word of mouth. That has way more emphasis now than it ever did before. And there's way more companies realizing that that is a channel of sorts and how difficult it is to manage.
But that's exactly what I was saying, is I think that that has been a huge switch that lots of teams aren't equipped. Like, when's the last time that you heard of like a word of mouth marketer?
But that's what I'm saying, is like, take it away from the tactics and yeah, level it up to, we have this objective to grow our company to this point by this time. What type of engine do we need to get there? And considering that, yeah, maybe it's just a really good networker who just knows how to go out there and DM people and get them on phone calls or whatever to bring leads in for the sales team. Or maybe it's someone who, yeah, they go out and do a bunch of dinners because maybe, you know, you're targeting such a smaller group of companies with a very limited number of people you need to access. And so it's like, yeah, doing dinners makes sense. Get to know those people. Or, you know, maybe it's a combination of some things that we're used to, paid media, SEO, whatever. But I think the days of content being king, that is changing. Mm. Because the number of people who are, you know, saying, okay, I need content, my first question is, do you?
Yeah. Well, it depends on what we're describing as content. If we're talking about like SEO focused blog articles, I would agree with you. I think an interesting thing, and not again to just be like, this dinner was the best thing since sliced bread. But what happened was the head of marketing immediately after, I think it was the next morning early on, sent out a folder of all of the photos that she took at the event, which were beautiful and like made us look good. And then was like, hey, just if you want to use these, like tag Capsule. And I think most people that went to that dinner ended up posting about it, tagging people in it. And then you think about not just, okay, there was a dinner and they had the people in the room and maybe those people will turn into leads, but how many other people then saw these people that were head of video at these large organizations being like, hey, I was at this event last night in this room with this people for this company. And we're like, oh, I wonder what that company is, and like tag into it. This is like the unmeasurable spread of information that when you look at it, so like, what is the direct line from, you know, having a podcast or having an event to a lead? You're missing like this other bit of it, right? And the thing I told her, we were DMing afterwards, and she was like, I was actually so surprised that so many people posted pictures of the event. We're all just like little ego monkey creatures where I'm like, I want to show off that I was in this room last night. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's not just because she shared out the file of folders so quickly that I was able to do it. And like, that wasn't the reason why I did it. It made it easier to do. But also like, I posted because I want people to know that I was in that room. You know what I mean?
But that is a measurable strategy though, because if part of your growth strategy is to do more community-based things, right? You have a hypothesis behind that. And you're like, listen, I just need to access these really high-level people. Talking to 16 of them at a dinner where there's no pressure, we're not trying to sell, but we're building relationships with them. You can absolutely track that. I don't mean quantify as like necessarily in like straight line, but like you can go back to your CFO and your CEO and say, here's what I did. I've started building the relationship. Here's how I'm going to continue the relationship with them. These signals of, you know, people sharing it and being really enthusiastic. Margaret then went and talked about it at the podcast, on her podcast. Like, that's telling us that we should do more of these and see how it goes. I don't believe you need a straight line between action. I think in this detail, which is just one tiny facet of what we're really talking about, is like, this could be a new way to view marketing. And that opens up possibilities for other types of media that currently teams are struggling to invest in because they're afraid that they can't prove that it works or doesn't.
Yeah.
This is a way to quantify that. And I think that's really cool because, yeah, like we can talk tactics all day long, you know, but for me, it's more about a mindset shift among startup founders who are hiring their first marketer and trying to think about how to scale. What if they didn't come to me, to you and me being like, what type of marketer do I need? It's more like, I need to get from here to here. What will get me from here to there in this amount of time?
Yeah.
And you're thinking about it. Yeah, you might have a bunch of, you might be like, all you need to do are these dinners. And here's how we'll, you know, here's how we'll attach like nurturing to it. Or yeah, you should actually start a podcast because you're a new type of product in the market. You're kind of disrupting it a little bit and you're going to need to get people on board. And so you've got your early adopters that you get in through the product itself, but you need to start messaging this early. So a long-term thing like a podcast and building on, like that makes sense, you know?
What I keep going back to is we swung so far into focusing on channels. And we swung so far away from thinking about a holistic program, right? What I'm trying to say when I'm thinking about those dinners is it wasn't just about the dinner, right? It was about all of the things that can happen before and after and all of then the word of mouth that happens from the attendees and all of the different, like the activation of people putting it on LinkedIn and then blah, blah, blah. I've said it before, but like the over-channelification of marketing is where we've lost our way.
Yes.
Because we're just like, what are we doing in this channel? What are we doing in this channel? What are we doing in this channel? And we hired channel specialists, right? There was a paid specialist and a this specialist and an event specialist. And I think what we're trying to go back to is like, if you are a marketer thinking about human behavior, you don't think about channel behavior. You think about how is a human being walking through the world. And there might be channels that they are already inhabiting or that they tend to frequent or that you can get them to participate in. But it's not the thing itself. That's the thing that exhausts me is like just the overall focus on, okay, well, if we invest in this channel, what does that mean? And what's the ROI by channel?
Yeah. It's like a marketing, like the questions put upon marketers and teams or people hiring marketing teams for the first time is what is my objective? And go at that objective and say, and timeline and budget and start going out trying to find people by asking that question.
Yeah.
With these circumstances, this much money, this much headcount, how would you go about achieving this objective in whatever amount of time we have? and really blank slating it, because that solves what you're talking about, where you're not, it's not just like, well, we're going to stand up a marketing org with these channels and blah, blah, blah. They're like, oh, interesting. You're based on your customer. They all like to meet at the arcade once a week. It's like a thing they do, or whatever. Or, yeah, you know, they all really listen to this YouTube channel or whatever it is. It frees you up to think from a blank slate and focus just on the objective without that legacy of, yeah, you know, I'm a person who does this and this is all I believe in. Or, you know, we need, it should look like.
We need webinars. We need, yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, you need what you need to hit your goal. And that there's a bunch of different things that could work.
Yeah.
And so you just need to find the right person who has enough experience to understand the available tactics,
yep,
who is good at putting, boiling that down into a strategy that you can then track in some way with some kind of indicators or whatever to help move it forward. It's less it's like strategy plus like project management and like being really good at comms. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. Hope you're loving the conversation. We just wanted to hop in real quick and let you know about our partners in creation of this show, Share Your Genius.
They are the podcast production agency behind our show, and we love partnering them because, like they always say, it's never just a podcast.
It's never just a podcast. But seriously, though, they really do get podcasting. They've been with us since the beginning, and they also get marketing and content. So they've helped us grow the show over our first year and first three seasons.
We think you would probably love them too. So if you're in need of podcast or content help, reach out to our friends at Share Your Genius and tell them that we sent you. And you already know that there's a link in the show notes, of course.
And you can ask us. We'll tell you as well. All right, back to the show.
I think the biggest thing, now that there's so much tech and tooling and measuring and tracking and software and blah, 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 I think my hope, my very optimistic hope, is that the bots will do all of this stuff so we can be better human beings. And I think the more that you can hire a marketer who is a constant student of human behavior, human psychology, human behavior, that is the important skill set, because it's easier to set up tracking than ever before. It's easier to do things at scale and create content and whatever at scale. Like, but the thing that is still elusive and hard to find is somebody that really is interested in figuring out human behavior, human psychology, and how that's transitioning over time.
Yeah.
And it's great. I'm that's the place that I want to be. And so it's a little Pollyanna of me of like, maybe the bots will let me have more human time. But that's how I even think about it in my own day-to-day of adopting software and adopting AI software and not. Like, I love my AI note taker because I don't have to write notes in meetings anymore and be distracted and be looking away. I can be fully present knowing that I'm going to get an email that says, these were the takeaways, these were the to-dos, these are the whatever. And like, I get to be a more present human. And now I don't have to take a chunk of time after a call to be able to like write those notes, remember those things. I can take that other hour and go have a work lunch or go meet somebody or whatever. And so I think there's like two ideas, like, going together there, but it's a hope of mine. But also, I think that it is the skill set that's missing most in marketers. They might be really great at knowing a channel, but do they know a human being?
I wonder if this idea of, which is not new, but you know, a further coming together of marketing and customer service ops, whatever, like the customer teams and marketing teams kind of being more one and the same. I know I benefited from that greatly at Help Scout.
Yeah.
Working closely with the customer team and the sales team as part of our brand awareness, some more, you know, tangible growth stuff. As long as that person, and again, I'm sorry to be the downer, but like if you want to get things done, you also need a person who has some kind of objective business mindset, because it's really easy when you're leading a team or when you're deep into your customer's psyche to go astray also and start to over-empathize, and that can lead to poor results, you alienating yourself from leadership, et cetera. So like, I think there needs to be a little bit of that, like, understand that this is still a business. Marketing is a business of people. And so you've got to know your customers really well, but you also have to be objective about how you're going to serve them and to benefit the business too. And I think that's a historical thing where content kind of went astray. And then measurement came in. I really reject the amount of tracking that people think is necessary, because I've experienced this with clients where they have all this data and they're paralyzed. They don't know what to do. And I look at it, I'm like, why are you even measuring this? Or like, do I need to see this every week? This is totally unproductive. Yeah. And it scatters their focus from like, what is the goal? Right? It's like, based on my data, I see that we have an X percent conversion rate on these pages with content. And so if I bring the value of traffic there higher, this will automatically get bigger, right? It's like, can we go back to like simplifying it? Because at the end, this goes back to your point from the episode where we argued, which is like, you have to look at the rising tide.
Yeah.
And just getting down into these little tiny details too much, you lose the plot too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, what is your objective? What are your resources? What is your timeline? What will you set up to attempt to achieve that goal and give you opportunities to evaluate and learn and adapt in that time?
Yeah.
And don't worry about the title. Don't worry about what channels. It's just like, you need a directly responsible individual whose job it is to get you there and to show you how, right? And they could work with freelancers, agencies, tools, whatever. Like, maybe your headcount, maybe headcount looks different, right? It's not just about headcount versus marketing budget. It's like, maybe it's, maybe we, because I know that's a big problem with some companies where it's like, we don't have any headcount. We have this marketing budget, but like, oh, we don't have anyone to manage that budget.
That drives me bonkers is that that's a legacy thing that needs to be broken, is this idea of this is headcount budget and this is like tool budget or like other budget, because you can replace a headcount with a tool. So why? And that would be more efficient for the company. So like, why don't I have a blended budget? It drives me up the wazoo.
Well, you know what I've heard from a lot of companies recently, especially where their sales are getting stalled, is they're like, we've got buy-in from the buyer. They see the value and they want to do it. They're literally like, my team is so small, I have no one to manage using this tool. Because tools are not a silver bullet. Neither is AI. You have to manage AI to make it useful, and you have to know how to manage it. You have to know how to ask it the right questions. You know, you have to know how to set it up. And so it isn't just this automatic answer. It is something that does suck time before it provides value, right? Yeah. And so I think that's like a big...
Well, how I think about it too is it's like, it's like headcount and non-headcount budget. And non-headcount budget could also be your freelancer budget, your agency budget, your whatever. It's not just like, can a tool replace a person, but also like, what if it's an agency? What if it's a freelancer? These things tend to be so separate. It's like, this is headcount budget, this is non-headcount budget. And I'm like, just blend those babies.
See, that you can't. Yes, because you when can. You get to big companies.
Well, not a big companies. I'm saying little smaller companies. You absolutely can.
But think about it, like that is part of the problem, right? Like we're not just talking about small companies here. And there is sort of fundamental infrastructure or fundamental models for how big companies work, where they're at a size where they need to have certain rules for how people get promoted and when, and budgets and departments. Like there's almost no getting around it. I'm not like a corporate expert, so maybe there is, and please tell me. But like
everything is able, it would be a complicated thing. But how radical for a CFO at a large organization to just say, we're going to completely change how we look at budget.
It's funny because after working with some of these giant companies, it's like, I know that like,
you know, it's never going to happen. I know, but like,
can you imagine
a world? Like how innovative would that company be to be like, I can see the changes that are happening, which is the fact that like we're going to be more agile if we look at this as a blended budget versus this very separate thing.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't think that's necessarily a silver bullet either. Like there's so many ways that companies already get around that. Large companies get around that. It's like a piece of the bigger pie. I think what what happens is because all these companies function in the same way in a, you know, similar type of structure, their marketing teams still look like that standard structure, which creates this perception that that's what a marketing team should look like. So everybody else follows suit and buys in. And it's part of this ingraining us with this idea. Not that it's all corporations' fault, obviously it's not, but that is sort of a thing. And so as long as that exists, people are going to look to that and say, well, maybe we should have this. A faster route of change would be not a big corporation, but for smaller companies to experiment with this. Because like, we don't even know how much of a blended budget would actually help marketing teams achieve more and be more productive. Like, we don't. We think it might, but like, we don't know, right? And so you need experiments. And then you need those companies to talk about those experiments and how they're working to get other people interested in trying.
It's like the 4-hour work week kind of spreading. It's like people experimented with it and had
some... That's how everyone bought in on SEO.
Yeah.
Some people saw success with it and everybody else was like, I want on board.
Yeah.
I think it's better to influence from the middle and the bottom up.
Well, it's more likely that that's where the change would actually happen. I just had a pipe dream that there would be a really innovative CFO out there in a large organization.
I mean, that would be hot. Don't get me wrong. If there was a CFO who was able to understand marketing well enough and see the opportunity and strategically aligning with them by maybe imparting some of themselves on the marketer and the marketer on that, like, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
I would love that. Because that shows an evolution of not just marketing, but the CFO and understanding that it goes back to that thing you can't measure. It's like growth isn't just about the incremental change created by systems with budgets that guarantee margins.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of like play that needs to happen.
It's inefficient, but that's how it works, right? Like growth in its very nature is inefficient.
Although it's hard to tell people that now because a lot of folks are struggling. And I think when you're talking to businesses right now, they're like, well, margin's my biggest opportunity / challenge right now.
Can I tell you, I won't name names. Somebody that I was honored that listens to our podcast reached out to me after that spicy one that we talked about measuring and whatnot. And he's a CMO at a great organization. And he literally DM'd me on LinkedIn and he was like, this punched me in the face. And I was like, in a good way? He's like, I need to go have a tough conversation with my CFO. I've been playing too nice and I need to just put my foot down and be like, this is what we're doing. And I was like,
I also want to let you know that your friend Shannon, who is going to be the feature in our next newsletter, agreed with me a lot. She understood what like the middle ground where it's like, it's not one or the other. It's a blend. And I was really excited to see that in her.
Well, by the time this episode goes out, it will already be out on Substack. So go check that Substack out.
This is my reminder.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, look, this is the conversation I wish more people were having, because all the change that is happening in the world, in startups, in marketing and people, and that is the best time to go back to the drawing board and dream up new ideas. It's like in all this chaos, like that's a perfect point of opportunity. I wish there were more people going out instead of being like AI versus humans and like VCs aren't investing and marketing teams have fewer reasons. It's like, that's just noise. Those are just reactions. It's like, who's the person who's coming in saying, hey, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
This might work.
Yeah.
What if we tried this?
And I think this is an interesting thought exercise and something that you and I have talked about and actually is like written into like my business and life values of things that I find interesting. It's like, what is actually staying the same and what's actually changing? And it's a fantastic thought exercise to like put that up on a board and say like, what are our assumptions? Where might our assumptions be wrong, right? Like what is staying the same? What is changing? And where could we actually be wrong? And I think the other thing that I was thinking about as you were talking is like, it's really interesting in an organization where they're like, okay, let's be innovative, let's change with the times, let's whatever, that there would be like the CFO and the finance team that doesn't change any of their processes, but they're like, you go, you be the innovator, changer, whatever, and not being like, inside of all of this organization, what would need to change in order for us to be flexible enough, to be, you know, reactive enough to be able to have this pace of change. And so that to me feels like any time that we rail against them, when we talk about marketing playbooks, like the marketing playbooks, the legacy systems, the whatever, like break them down, start anew. But I think unless the entire company culture is that, it's going to be really hard, right? Because there's, and we're just talking about like two teams right now, marketing and finance, but there's probably other pockets in an organization where they're thinking, well, this is the way that it's done. This is the way we've always done it. The world is a brand new place.
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that black and white, right? Like Ashley's a great example of someone who navigates a big org and functions across teams and gets multiple different types of stakeholders on board to do growth activities. You don't necessarily have to change the whole system.
But I think you have to be curious about what the where the system might be blocking you, and not thinking that anything is ever unchangeable.
Yeah, right. And so it's like, you know, some of it may be, okay, we do a little bit of a workaround here, but to get this test done, but when I have this test, I'm going to use that to influence the CFO or my CMO, or if it's a small company or CEO, to consider letting me do this more.
Yeah.
And so bringing in that, like thinking from your other customer's perspective, which is your higher ups who are making decisions. And again, I think that there's a way in which maybe even the way we think about it is like, maybe we don't need to think about a full sea change. We just need a change in how even just marketers are thinking themselves, so they can instigate this mindset change among their leaders. And they do have some of the tools to do that. And that tool is experiment, building influence, and understanding their other core audience, their leaders, enough to be able to make a case that they could say yes to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the power.
You like literally have the skill set, because you do it externally. You just got to flip it internally and be like, oh, who's this audience?
Yeah.
Where are the channels that they're in?
I spend a lot with like folks in companies where they come to me saying, I'm a victim. I don't have power. I can't do this thing. And they have all these excuses for why they can't do things. And I'm like, you can do something about pretty much all of that, right? Yeah. It's like, you have more power than you think. That is the thing I end up telling people, all showing people all the time. I'm like, you actually have a lot more power than you think. You're just choosing to see one story and holding yourself back.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's other people who are holding you back too.
Yeah.
But like, or they don't, your decision to only see it from that perspective limits you.
Yeah. Well, I think too, the thing I've seen is not like, some people can't even see what's holding them back. And I think that that's a really good skill set, is if you can identify, like it took me a long time to identify the fact that how we're tracking marketing by channel and ROI by channel is actually the thing that was holding me back, right? It was like, oh, this spreadsheet is the problem. You know what I mean? Like the fact that we're putting it into cells and human beings aren't this predictable, or this like we're reducing it to the point where now it doesn't make any sense. We've like reduced it too much and this is stupid. Once I was like, why does this feel so stupid? I was like, oh, because it is. I can trust the fact that like this is the thing that needs to change. I can't track this all in the same spreadsheet. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on this piece. That is a good skill set to practice, is trying to identify the thing in which you're stuck at. And it's wonderful if you actually know what that is and are able to articulate it, because it's that much, there's that work on top of that to be able to then figure out how to influence and how to change. But so many people just get stuck, right? They're just like, I have to fill out this stupid ass spreadsheet.
I was absolutely that person. And I was also that person that thought that spreadsheet mattered and was important. Like I believed in it back then. I was like, this does mean I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Like I fully bought in at that at one point.
No, and I hysterically, I mean, I feel like I've said this before, but when I first started at AppQs, Ty Magnin pulled up this, I called it the rainbow spreadsheet of death. And he literally had every single channel and every single lead that had ever converted in this gigantic color-coded rainbow spreadsheet. And he like showed it to me and I was like, but it took me from working from being like, this is a stupid spreadsheet, all the way to like finally being able to refine my argument at OpenView, where I was like, oh, there's actually these two different functions and whatever. And I mean, it took me, that was probably a 5-year spread in between the two, where I was like, my initial reaction is like, whoa, woof, terrible spreadsheet, hate it, stupid, to the like actually being able to be like, this death. Is the thing that's blocking me from doing good work. So it takes a while.
This is our new mascot, the rainbow spreadsheet of death.
I was like,
I need a designer to make that for us and just put it ever. That's going to be our like sticker, right? The rainbow.
And it's like podcast. And then it's like ROI. It's like this. And then it's like paid ads, ROI. You're like, yep. Outbound sales, ROI. It's like, that one always looks good. Well, I wonder why that is, because it's so conversion focused.
And that is the funniest thing to me about our obsession with data, mm-hmm. is that data alone doesn't answer anything.
Yeah.
It can actually lead you to false assumptions.
Yeah.
It is the story that the data is telling, and someone who can analyze that in the context of things that aren't quantified there that makes it useful.
Yeah.
And so those rainbow spreadsheets of death, it's like, okay, to what end? What are you learning from
that? Well, I was like, well, we clearly need to cut social, and we clearly need to cut, like, it was so clear when you look at it in that way that all of the top of the funnel brand awareness programs, we should cut those.
Yeah. Of course. Right, Margaret? I mean, yeah, definitely. Right. That's correct. I mean, I love this. You know,
Ty.
No, Ty is the best. I love Ty.
Hate that spreadsheet. Love you.
You're doing great. Maybe you can torch the spreadsheets.
Yeah, torch the spreadsheets.
Okay, y'all, that's a wrap. Thank you, as always, for listening.
We'll be back next week. And just remember, you're doing great. You're doing great.
30% of you are doing great. The rest, you got to get your shit together. Come on.
You know which side you're on this week.
You know.
You know. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
So thinking back to like our, like a founder, a CEO, a CMO, like, what do they want to hear about right now?
I think they just want silence right now. This episode brought to you by Brain Break, and it's just like calm music.